Thanks for downloading my show. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. You have downloaded show 204. I'm recording this on Sunday, December 10th, 2006. Getting ready for the holidays here at Xbox World Headquarters. Last night, Saturday night, was our holiday party. And while I will spare you the gory details and protect the names of the some of those folks implicated, it was a rather large party, I'll just say that. It was in downtown Seattle. Actually, it was down kind of in the industrial zone. It was more of a rave than a party. It was actually kind of cool. So Jay Allard throws a hell of a party, I'll just say that. So I'm a little off my game this morning because I'm recording this Sunday, and the party was last night. I'll let you connect the dots from there. So, all right. So we're getting ready for the holidays. As here in North America, as you guys know, there's a list up on Xbox.com that I posted on the blog earlier this week. Kind of give you some gift buying tips for your lady friends. And so go swing over there if you want to, if you need some ideas. You know, consumer electronics, not normally a good idea for women at Christmas, unless you have an exceptional lady in your life like I do. And mine wanted a GPS. I'll talk about that later in the show. So there's some ideas. You can't go wrong with perfumes and jewelry. Anytime you get a little blue box from Tiffany's, well, there you go. She'll be happy. We had some announcements this week. It's this email went out yesterday to some folks, and I just want to share some of it with you. Just kind of talking about some of the bullet points around the Xbox 360 and how we're doing this holiday season. So we have 160 titles available, and let's see what else we have. Gears of War has sold over 1 million copies since November, since it launched about a month ago. So I think we pretty much knew that one. And let's see, it's also the top-selling Xbox 360 title, well, of course. You know, I don't have much to say about last week's pinata party. I know some of you guys went and sent me photos. Hopefully that was a good time. I would have loved to have gone down in the joined the summit. The same weekend, last weekend, the Xbox 360 team in Mexico established a new world record for the biggest pinata, measuring 48 feet tall and 52 feet long. That's a hell of a horstachio, I'll tell you that. Just doing a little recap. Last Monday, the Halo ad aired on football here American football here in North America. And the Halo 3 beta is coming out this spring. And apparently over 140,000 people signed up in the first 24 hours. So I have no idea what the number's like now. I'm sure it's continuing to climb. So it's going to be huge. Halo 3, huge. I think we all know that. Let's see what else we have here for details. You know, I'm struggling with how do I deal with games for Windows news. A lot of folks have emailed me asking me to kind of cover more games for Windows news, and games for Windows is kind of part of the story here at Xbox, where we're going to be doing a lot of work with games for Windows with the upcoming Live Anywhere, where you can be able to play Xbox Live on your Windows Vista machine. So I'm struggling with how to deal with the games for Windows side of things. So I welcome any input there. Do you guys want to hear it? You want me to stick to consoles? Let me know. Let's see what else we have here. Let's see, Xbox 360. The Xbox 360 accessory has a 2.8 attach rate was 2.8 according to the to USNPD data. So that means that 2.8 accessories for every console. Well, that's pretty good. The 360 HD DVD player is really doing well here in North America, and it'll be coming to all the other areas as well, as I've discussed in the past. Have you guys had a chance? What's your favorite HD DVD? I Trixie up at Xbox.com asked me for my top 10 favorite HD DVDs, and I put a link up to that. Did I put a link on the blog? I don't think I did put a link, but I'll see if I can dig up that link, because it's actually interesting. I looked around at all the cool HD DVDs that are available, and there's some really good ones, like A Christmas Story. I've actually been searching all weekend here in Seattle to find that on HD DVD, because that's one of the a classic. If you haven't seen A Christmas Story, You may, if you don't live in the United States, you may not get it, because there's a lot of really U.S.-centric comments and storylines and callbacks and that. But that is just a funny film. So actually, I do have the list available of some of the new content that's available on Video Marketplace. Last week, Nacho Libre went up on the Video Marketplace, so that's kind of cool. That was on Friday, I believe. Swordfish is an SD and HD in 5.1. It's the first HD movie launch since the edition. There's more coming. Jericho episode 10. Let's see what else. UFC fighting. Let's see some other MTV stuff, Nickelodeon stuff, and a few other things. Some folks have asked me if I'm going to be posting on the blog when things are going to be going up in the Video Marketplace, and I want to talk about that for a minute. I don't have the – basically, somebody has to email me when stuff goes up there because it's kind of a different process. And I'll post the big stuff. Like, I think I'll post about Nacho Libre and some of the movies that are going to be coming up. When I find out about them, I'll post about them. But I want to talk about the blog, you know, in general. As of late, as a lot of people have pointed out, it has become, you know, marketplace.com. Just all it is I'm posting a lot of marketplace stuff. And that's why I tag it like that, so that you can kind of subscribe to that feed. And if you don't want to, you know, if you don't want to read it, then frankly, you don't really have to. But it's, you know, it's kind of getting irritating to me, as it is to you, that there's just so much content coming out. Not that that's irritating, it's just that I'm the only guy that's posting it. So we are looking at a solution, and we have been looking at a solution on Xbox.com that will relieve me of this duty. And it's I think it's kind of a duty, because I want to tell you what's going on. So I guess, you know, we're gonna work on that. We're gonna have that available, you know, hopefully early next year. Of course, if the developers are listening, they'll start jumping up and down and yelling at me. But we're looking for an automated solution where you can just subscribe to an RSS feed and kind of look at the, you know, have stuff go up there in real time, kind of the way I do it on my blog. But I want to ask you, you know, should I step back a little bit and not post as much of what's going on in the marketplace? You just want me to post the big stuff, like the game trailers and the demos, because I think those are what a lot of people are interested in. I mean, I'm trying to figure out where to draw the line. So I'm going to turn to you, dear listener, and tell me what you think. You know, it's still a service that I think needs to be provided for the Xbox community, but there's a lot of other things I'd rather be blogging about. And frankly, I just don't have enough time, and the marketplace thing just takes up a lot of time, as you can pretty well imagine. So please let me know what you think of that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, swing over to my blog at majornelson.com, and you'll see all sorts of marketplace posts. You know, if you're downloading this off iTunes, which I know thousands upon thousands of you are, you need to swing by my blog over at Xbox.com and kind of take a look at it that way. All right, let's see what else we have for Xbox news coming up, or Xbox news this week. Hey, funny story out of India. You know, their Xbox 360 recently launched in India, and things are dramatically different over there economically. So there's now a new bank that is offering loans to purchase an Xbox 360, which is, I thought, was actually quite interesting. I'll put a link to that up on the blog to that story. So, funny story. It just shows you how things are so different in many different regions around the world. So I'm glad we've got a bank working for that. So again, the Xbox 360 is the only official console to launch over there in India. So I'm glad that we're trying to figure something out for those folks over there. Do I have any listeners in India? If so, drop me an email, major@xbox.com. All right, going through my show notes, I'm kind of coming to the end here, and I've got a couple of interviews coming up. A couple of interviews that you can probably tell from the title or from some of the metadata in the show. I've got the guys from Naked Sky Entertainment, who were responsible for this week's past arcade release, Robo Blitz. And then I also have Morgan from MyGamerCard.net. If you're not familiar with that site, you will be. But first, I want to roll this interview from the guys at Naked Sky. And I have to apologize, because they did it on a speakerphone, and so the audio is a little funky. I've kind of sweetened it the best that I could. But anyway, I thought it was important to hear from these guys, because they put out a fun game, and it's always great to talk to independent developers. So here's the interview I did with Naked Sky. All right, on the line with me today are the guys from Naked Sky Entertainment. I have T and Sam and Josh. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks.
So you guys, T, and I want to start with you. I want you to, can you give me a little bit of background around Naked Sky Entertainment, and specifically around Robo Blitz? Because you guys are the creators of Robo Blitz, which was the big Xbox 360 arcade title this week.
Sure. So we founded Naked Sky Entertainment actually over 4.5 years ago, working on a totally different title. We started playing around with Unreal Engine 2. And later on, we got this opportunity to do a tech demo for the Intel dual core processor, and that's when we decided to use UE3 for that. And when we demoed that the tech demo at IGF and GDC of 2005, you know, people would come up to us and ask, "Hey, when is this game coming out? And you know, who's your publisher?" And that's when we decided we should make this into a full-fledged title. But of course, you know, things changed. You know, changed a lot since our design and our art and most of our code have changed completely, actually. So that's really how the game got started. And did that pretty much answer your question?
It sure does. So it was really, RoboBlitz was really, it was a project for you guys that just kind of grew into a game.
Exactly. That's what happened.
And I think I remember remember seeing it a few years ago at GDC in 2005. I remember looking at that and going, "That looks like a cool game." So you obviously took that feedback. So how did you take a tech demo and turn it into the arcade game that we can now download, RoboBlitz? I mean, that must have been a challenge.
I'll have Sam talk about this one since he's our chief designer on the game.
Okay. Well, our original tech demo, for those who aren't familiar with it, it was just one room basically, with a very very similar robot, and some simple enemies that are roughly similar to what's in the current game. And what we liked what we were doing with the robot simulation, and we were doing a detailed physics simulation in this tech demo, which really allowed a lot of fun, cool gameplay features to come out. And when we went to take that into a full game, what we were asking ourselves is, you know, what can we do with this that's going to be really cool? And so, you know, part of that was just continuing with the action elements that came from the tech demo, and then we added on to that these puzzle elements. The physics really allows a lot of rich things that you can do with the environment, and because it's an actual physics simulation going on, there's lots of surprising behaviors that'll come out of it. That, you know, we make a level, and when a player goes in and tries it out, you know, they'll be able to do things that we didn't even think of just because the physics enabled it.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was playing it Wednesday. That there's, I actually, the little guy, I think his name is Blitz, right? The little robot.
Yeah.
Is I started just kind of running around and picking up some of the boxes and the cartons just to kind of see, and running into things to see, you know, what would happen. There's just a tremendous amount of physics that have gone into this game, which is really extraordinary for an arcade title.
Yeah, what's cool about it is, it, like Sam was saying, it lets us set up puzzles that you can solve in multiple ways. And it's kind of funny now that the game's out, looking on the forums, people are saying, like, some of these puzzles are too hard, because they're coming up with these ways to solve them that we didn't even think about, but their ways are, like, really hard ways to do it, whereas if they thought harder, they'd come up with other ways that worked. But what's really cool is they think, hey, this might work, and then they try it out, and it works, even though we didn't have to plan for it, just because we have this consistent set of rules that governs everything in the game.
So, you know, this is the first arcade title that's used the Unreal Engine. What was that challenge like? Because the arcade titles, you know, many people may or may not know, they have to be under 50 megabytes in size. So what were some of the challenges that you had using the Unreal Engine?
Well, one of the main problems we had was getting everything to fit into 50 megabytes, but particularly the textures, because, as you know, in a game today, people expect, like, textures of really high resolution, because when you get up close to things, you want to see pretty pictures.
Right.
So what we had to do for the textures was use this procedural generation technology from a company called Algorithmic that's in France. And what it basically does is generate the textures while the levels are loading based on instructions we've given it. So for an example of how that might work, let's say I wanted to use you as a procedural texture generation system. Instead of sending you a picture of the Mona Lisa, which would be the traditional way to do it if I wanted you to see the Mona Lisa, I could just tell you, draw the Mona Lisa. And then you'd draw it out as best you could, and then you'd have a picture of the Mona Lisa, and all I sent to you was a couple words. Now, luckily, the tech that we have in the game is a little better at drawing than most people, so it makes the graphics look nice. But really what we've done is just compress all the instructions to draw the textures, and then they get drawn on your Xbox.
So
that's
it's
one of the ways we squish things down.
So it's more of a, the procedural is more of a, just like you said, it's kind of like vector-based, meaning that you've given it a set of instructions, which could be four or five lines, and then the application can kind of take it and create the environment. Maybe I'm simplifying
exactly.
It too much.
Vector-based is part of it. There are a lot of vector textures, but yeah, it's the same kind of thing to an even higher level, where there's even more complicated instructions than just put a line here and a line there. And another way we manage to squish things down is using our procedural animation, which is, since everything is physically based, we don't have to compress tons of mesh animation data. Everything's driven by AI and physics, so that helps us save a lot of space, too.
So what was, you know, we talked about the fact that it was a tech demo at 2005 GDC. At what point did you realize we need to make a game? Because here we are 18 months later. Did it take you the full 18 months to come up with the game and finalize it? I'm trying to let people that are listening know that you know, creating games is kind of hard.
Oh, actually, no. So after the tech demo, we decided, you know, we should probably make this into a real game. And then we got hooked up with the Live Arcade team. And so we actually flew up to Seattle, talked to them. And they said, hey, this is a great title. You know, we want to, you know, make it for a 360 Live Arcade game. But, you know, you have to do it under 50 megs.
So, wow.
You know, we thought about it and said, you know, sure, we could do that. But because, you know, we're totally self-funded, we're just a little indie developer, we didn't have money to do this, so we had to go out and try to raise money. And that took a while.
Right.
So we really started full production on this title last November. So it took us about 11 months to do this, all in all.
So you've been working on this thing for 11 months. You talked about it. I mean, are you three, Sam, Josh, and Tane, are you guys Naked Sky?
Oh, no. We got more people. We have about, our core team has about 12 to 15 people. And we're mostly, you know, programmers, designers, and artists. But also we outsource a lot, you know, like
sure.
Josh mentioned, we work with Algorithmic in France. They do our procedural textures. We work with a company called SDL. They're in England. They do our localization. And because the game is out in 8 different languages. We work with VMC in Seattle. They do our testing. You know, our composer is also based in Seattle. And, you know, just we work with different groups. So it's actually a pretty big project.
Yeah, it sounds like. So I just, we've been talking a lot about the 50 megs and the challenges there. So how much did it come in at?
How big is
the final game?
It's 49.32 megabytes.
You had a whole bunch of room there. How come you didn't use it?
Oh, you know, that's Josh's fault, because he had a whip next to his desk, and every time we would use an extra K, he would just go.
Well, it was effective.
So,
it worked.
Now we look back, we could have probably put in an extra picture or something.
So speaking of extras, there's been a lot of buzz, you know, the title came out this week for 1,200 points, and we've seen a lot of people, you know, that's like a, we'll say roughly about a US $15 game. That's a pretty good deal for a $15 game, but you're seeing some people that maybe think it's too expensive. What do you guys say to that?
Well, we're thankful for everybody who's paying the $15, and for everybody who isn't, you're going to get free multiplayer if you buy this game.
Well, so wait.
It's coming. I mean, we didn't stick it in because, like you said, we only had 0.7 megabytes left. No, 0.07.
0.07.
So we didn't want to squish multiplayer in where it didn't belong. But it is coming as a free expansion to everybody who pays. So if you say it's not worth $15, then I don't know what you're smoking.
Yeah, that sounds... So wait a minute. So let's back up a little bit, because a lot of people think that, oh, they're just going to charge some more money and have the multiplayer. So you guys are telling us that eventually, I don't want to pin you down on a time, but you guys are going to have a free multiplayer download, and I'm going to be able to go all RoboBlitz on somebody, multiplayer style.
Yes, and it's going to be very different from any other multiplayer game you see out there.
Yeah.
Well, moderately different. Well, yeah, because of all the physics properties and stuff.
Yeah, I just think, you know, for anyone who tries out the demo, all those weapons that you see in the game that you can use on other people or use on the baddies, you can use that on your opponent. So, you know, we've been testing it out already. So you hit someone with that firework launcher and they get shot up into the air and get a pop at the top with a little fireworks display. I mean, That's just one thing. I mean,
it's really hilarious. You know, you can turn someone off with the EMP and then try to pick them up and drop them in a shredder. But of course, we have all these counters
for
multiplayer. Because it's not fun if you're, you know, unconscious for like 15 seconds, right?
So that's pretty big news. So just to be clear, so if you bought it or if you're going to purchase it, go ahead and do it. You're going to get a free multiplayer sometime in the future. So that's great news, guys. You guys are doing the right thing.
Yeah, we know $15 is a lot, even though our game does look really, really nice. But we just want to make sure we can give people as much as they want. So free multiplayer definitely coming.
That's fantastic. And I've got some pictures that I'm going to post up on my Flickr account that you guys have sent me. So I want to thank you for that. It's just some exclusive photos of what the multiplayer in the game looks like. You know, I also want to talk about the game itself. Let's get back into the game a little bit and developing for it. What were some of the things that you wanted to do in the game that you really couldn't, maybe because you ran out of time or maybe even space?
Was there anything?
Maybe there wasn't.
I mean, I have to. We did trim down the concept some. I mean, we originally when we were starting out, we were even planning more levels that was in there, but with the 50 megabytes, we had to simplify it a little bit for the space.
Because I played it right when it was released, and I've just had a great time with it. It feels like a really, really solid game, and it's so crazy that, you know, in this day and age that you can download a title that uses the Unreal Engine and it's an arcade title. I mean, that's just phenomenal.
Thank you. Actually, yeah, so what Sam was saying pretty much, you know, because we knew the file size, you know, limitation from get-go, so we designed the whole game around that.
Right.
You know, it wasn't we planned for a retail title, and then somehow we landed, you know, arcade, so then we had to, like, trim down all the content and stuff. It wasn't like that at all. Like, we knew what we had to work with, so, and we aimed for that. So we didn't really have to trim much down at all.
Right.
Really.
So I'd like to ask you, I mean, it's been a huge success. I mean, it's the number one live arcade title this past week, which is huge. And it's also, I think it's like the number six or number seven, on Xbox, what I call the big boy list, with everybody else. It's number six right ahead of Madden. So it's really been received well by the community. What's next for you guys? I mean, you talked about the multiplayer, the free multiplayer that you're going to deliver later on. But what's next? Are you planning your next one, two, three, four titles?
Well, right now, multiplayer is our focus. Because we have a small team, we focus, you know, on one thing at a time. You know, we don't want to get too crazy and excited and not deliver quality content. We do have some other stuff, you know, in the works. Like you know, I mentioned earlier, we founded this company to do this other big title, and that's, you know, that's still our that's going to be the big game that we'll put out one day,
right.
Hopefully soon. But besides that, you know, there's a couple other opportunities, but you know, right now we'll see, you know, what's gonna work out the best. But for now, multiplayer. That's our main focus.
That's where you guys are focusing. So it's really been great to get you guys on the line here, because it's just such a fun game, and it's always great to talk to the independent developers like yourselves. When you guys were going into this to start the game, what were some of the things that you wished you had learned up front before you 11 or 18 months ago? For anybody who's starting to maybe make a game with XNA,
I don't think we have time for that. There's a huge list. You know, for instance, we don't have a QA lead in the office. You know, we outsource our QA, and we didn't really know much about that stuff. We figured, hey, it's just testing, right? But it turned out testing was really a big, big component of, you know, game development. Even though we started testing, you know, way early on, you know, this game's been, you know, been in what testing for months and months, like 5-6 months, I'd say, you know. But still, there were things we just didn't know. You know, we wish we knew before, and wish we had like an expert, a QA expert in house. You know, that was definitely one thing. And also, you know, we didn't really have enough time for pre-production. So we just, you know, we laid down everything. We had this giant, you know, design doc and said, go. And so we started laying out levels and putting everything in the game. And then we realized certain things didn't work out. you know. But also, you know, I think most importantly, I think it was because the tech we were using, you know, we were using Unreal Engine 3, and the engine at the time was still in development. I mean, I think right now it's still kind of in development.
Yeah.
But, you know, and using the geophysics engine and all these things, you know, there's a lot of technology that's new, so we had to, like, modify different things, and, you know, whenever we get a new build from our partners, and then that would just break everything, and then we would have to redo everything again. Took a long time. Took a long time. So definitely it was a steep learning, you know, experience, I guess, for us.
Yeah, I wish we knew how hard it was to make a game this big fit in 50 megabytes, because we would have raised a lot more money.
So that's, there you go. That's something learned. So before I let you guys go, I want to talk. I always ask this of my guests. What are your gamer tags?
I can't disclose that. That's private information. No, actually, mine is DGaijin. And of course, we have our office. We have one, Negus Guy.
Sure.
There's also JD. Just a few different ones out there.
So people come up again if they're playing. So once multiplayer comes online and you're playing against Naked Sky, look out, because they're going to probably...
Right. Yeah, you better be careful.
You guys have anything else you want to leave with the listeners?
Well, we just want to thank our fans. You know, we want to thank everybody to support, you know, supporting us. And, yeah, we'll come out with more features for everyone shortly.
Great.
And thank you for having us on.
Great. Dan, Sam, Josh from Naked Sky, the creators of RoboBlitz, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Larry. Have a great one.
All right, so there you go. Naked Sky Entertainment, thank you, guys. Thank you, Naked Sky guys, for coming on. Thank you, listeners, for dealing with some of the audio weirdness there. But more importantly, let me repeat it in case you missed it. RoboBlitz is going to have a free multiplayer download in the future. So if you bought it already, you're going to get the multiplayer for free. Okay, I know there's been some confusion, or there's actually been some rumors running around that, oh, they're going to charge for it. Well, you heard it straight out of the guy's mouth. They're not going to charge for it. It's going to be a free multiplayer download. Got those photos. They sent me two photos that I posted up on Flickr today. You can go download those, kind of the exclusive multiplayer screenshots. Never before seen, ever. All right, so on the line with me is the infamous Morgan/Jason from MyGamerCard.net. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Oh, thanks for having me. We've been planning this for a while.
You and I have been going round and round with this for, it has been like 8 or 12 months, hasn't it?
I was looking at some old emails earlier, a couple days ago, and I realized that one of the earliest ones I saw was back from April.
So we have been going around and around. So why don't you do me a favor? There's a lot of people that listen to my show that may or may not be aware of your site. So tell people about your site, will you please?
Sure. Well, the site is mygamercard.net, and that's both the name of the site and the URL, obviously. We are the first and largest gamer card provider for the Xbox community. What that entails is allowing you to share your Xbox 360 gamer card in forums, on MySpace, in a variety of different formats, colors, flavors, whatever you want to call it. On top of that, we also have gamer score leaderboards. Find out who's the top dog overall. Find out who's the top dog in your country. It goes to local leaderboards. It goes per game, and you can mix and match all the different options. And we have some other things, just like gamer profiles, which you can get a quick glance of how you stack up. You know, get your averages of how many other users have certain scores in games. For example, if you know you have 800 gamer points in Ghost Recon, you can see whether or not that falls above or below the fold of everybody else.
So when you say everybody else, I just want to be clear. It's people that have signed up with your site.
Yeah, it is voluntary, but we do have about 760,000 members in our database. We get them from people who are looking for their friends. We get people who are just looking for themselves. A lot of clan members use us. We've got forums that will automatically use MGC gamer cards in the posts, which obviously add them as we come across them.
Sure. It's yeah, so for a lot of people that don't understand how you work, I mean, you launched a little over a year ago when we launched the Xbox 360. I think it was October, because we had the new Xbox.com go live at the end of October, correct?
Yep. What happened was you guys launched the gamer card, the whole gamer card thing, and immediately nobody had – in fact, I don't even think the Xbox team had GamerScore quite yet when it was first launched.
Right,
and people already wanted to put them in forums and such. So myself and actually another person, the guy from GamertagPix.com, both had developed a gamer card type system without knowledge of the other person doing it, as a matter of fact, but just pimped it out basically to the active forum members at the time, and it sort of skyrocketed from there.
Yeah, you talked about the fact that we didn't have any gamer score. It's because there weren't any games yet, because the Xbox 360 wasn't shipping for another month way back when.
That's true, but also Xbox employees were, you guys were doing your testing and
yep.
and previews of the game, and I actually got into a little bit of trouble when you were playing some Cameo, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. I was playing Cameo, and all of a sudden, oops, I shouldn't have been playing Cameo, but... those were the good old days. But, so it's really, it's a different service, because right now, we can you can go to Xbox.com, and in those forums, you can have your own gamer card, which we serve up immediately. But people can just go to mygamercard.net, and they can just punch in their gamer card, and then you've got like a dozen like different themes that you can choose, and it's pretty extraordinary. I mean, you've come a long way in a year.
Oh, it's been phenomenal. And, I can't take all the credit for that sort of thing. We've had some contributions from other community members. We do have one person who's doing a lot of the cooler gamer cards, Big Mace 911, who came up with the what's called the Game Bar, which is basically, if you ever been on forums and seen these small little bars that says, like I'm a such and such fan or a, whatever user of some other service, we have something like that that will actually scroll through your last five played games and give you, your completion percentage and have, like, key images from games.
So one of the things that, we talk about a lot is that we serve up, off of Xbox.com, something on the order between 1.5 and 2 million gamer cards a day, of which includes a lot of the information that you're ingesting into your system. So tell us about some of the, where you're seeing some of that, those gamer cards serve up, any fun places, any particular forums for large companies?
Well, it's been quite interesting, actually. I'm going to go back and forth on this because, there's so many that I could list. Some of the more notable ones were Oblivion, before it even shipped. We got wind of, that Oblivion had been added, and we got the achievement list, which actually Microsoft was not very happy about. One of the testers or somebody internal to Bethesda had used it on their internal forums.
Right.
So that was kind of exciting for us. Currently, we're listed on some Gears of War MySpace page that seems to be official of some sort. I don't really know the exact details, but it seems to be some sort of contest page for Gears of War that has a little ad for our site embedded on the page. A lot of game companies, Microsoft themselves, I don't know if you do, but I know some of the other people in the Xbox.com team and even some of the other divisions of Microsoft have it in their signature files of internal email.
Sure, yeah, a lot of us do. I know that I've seen the gamer cards served up, I think the Nintendo forums and even the PlayStation forums.
There was one PlayStation. It wasn't an official PlayStation forum, but it was like one of the larger fan groups that had rules on signatures, and expressly stated in the rules was the only exception for larger images will be for mygamercard.net images.
Because you guys actually take the gamer card data and you kind of put it into a big mixture and spit out a flash blob, right?
Yeah, that's one of the better ones for MySpace. It's probably the best one to use for MySpace because, that's sort of a more rich interactive experience. When you have a static image like a, you know, just the standard image that we serve up, you can't really click into the different games. It just links to their profile on mygamercard.net. With the Flash version, you know, you get a little bit more data and also some enhancements that are coming probably in the next couple of months, I'd imagine.
Oh, would you like to tell me about any of them?
Well, I could, but all your listeners have to promise they're not going to tell anybody.
Well, I don't think they can do that. So, but go ahead. No promises.
Well, with it being more extensible and easier to update than the other ones, we're looking to have it be a center of somebody's game history. So, you know, you had that last five played games, and clicking them now takes you, you know, to this site or that site. Maybe in the future we'll just have a list of the, you know, how much gamer score they have directly in that Flash file.
Sure.
You know, we have other things in there now where you can see the country that the person's from, and, you know, you hover over the flag and it'll tell you what country that is. There's a lot of things that we can do with that more interactive experience, but overall there's you know, just a lot of things that are kind of in the works on the back end.
Sure. And you guys, you know, it's pretty straightforward. You go over there, you plug in your gamer tag, and it spits out code that you can, as you've said, put on MySpace, put in your blog, put pretty much anywhere all over the web. The one thing that's really kind of cool is, you know, if you go to your site, mygamercard.net, and click on the celebrity leaderboard, well, it's cool for some things, but it's not cool for me.
Yes, I've had my share of messages of people, I don't think anybody's ever done it like maliciously, but kind of just joking, like, oh, thanks for, you know, giving me all these friend requests or all these messages.
Yeah, what you've done, well, explain to us what the celebrity leaderboard is.
The celebrity leaderboard is mostly for, it started out originally as just Microsoft employees. You know, people that have that Xbox 360 launch team banner that you have,
yep.
Trixie. But also, I wanted to expand it to people that maybe were involved but maybe don't have the banner. And then it turned into people who are involved in the industry. Gabe and Tycho from Penny Arcade are on there. People from the official Xbox magazine, some other publications. So we try to be a little bit more flexible about who we add on there. We're not doing... I've had a lot of requests for, like, community-type sites and things like that, or maybe just sites that are large but not really haven't been established long-term in the industry. And, you know, we'd love to be able to put everybody on there.
Sure.
But it's really designed to highlight some of the people that have really shaped the industry or shaped the Xbox gaming experience over the past... you know, 4 or 5 years or however long.
Yeah, it's so, can you, you know, when we think a year and a half ago when no one had a, I mean, we clearly did because we were building it, but we didn't, you know, no one had a concept of achievements in a gamer score. Are you surprised at where we are today? And, you know, that I know that there's some people that won't even play games on other platforms because there is no gamer score and there's no achievements.
Achievements are one of those things that have really shaken up the way games are played, I think. We just have somebody that passed 100,000 gamer score.
Sure, strip club DJ.
Yeah. it's hard to describe because achievements and gamer scores are such a subjective thing. You know, they mean the different things to different people. Ways of obtaining it have changed back and forth over the course of the year. There's really so much that you could say about the achievement system that probably wouldn't fit in this discussion here. But the bottom line is, for the most part, I think the achievement system has really brought a sense of competition, friendly competition, of course, to the gaming scene, especially with the Xbox Live system of being able to jump into a game, find out what other people's gamer score is. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily tell you, like, how good they may be, but you know, you always have something in the back of your mind, like, you know, this person has a little bit higher gamer score. What's this going to be like? And you may get a little high on your horse if you find somebody that doesn't have a lot of gamer score. But that whole achievement thing has put a new level of I can't think of the word. But when, you know, you're considering how they stack up against you.
Yeah, when we designed it, and one of the guys who I've had on the show in the past, his gamer tag is X, he was one of the key architects behind designing, you know, the gamer score and the achievement system. We realized when we were designing it about 2 years ago that this was going to be something pretty wild and pretty new, and it was really going to totally reset the gaming industry.
Now, do you guys on the Xbox team, did you guys expect it to kind of explode into what it is now?
We really didn't. You know, we knew it was going to be big, but we wanted to do the best we could and arm the community like yourself with as much data that we can, and to do fun stuff with. And that's what we, you know, when we launch, you talk about, you know, the power of Xbox 360 and human energy. And that it's kind of hokey, but it's actually kind of true, because we just stepped back and let people like yourselves have fun with it.
And it's been a lot of fun. You know, growing something from the ground up to enhance an already rich community has been really fun. We started out serving, you know, maybe like 100 gamer cards a week back in the day, and now we're up to about 5 million a day.
Yeah, you guys are really going crazy. It's been interesting to see the just the growth, because I remember, I mean, I pointed to your site, gosh, a long time ago.
A couple times, actually.
I've pointed out a couple times, and it's you've held up well, because I know I can throw a lot of traffic your way.
It's, you know, when you're designing something, an architecture that needs to scale, and I don't know how familiar you are with this, but I know some of the people in the Xbox.com team I've had some discussions with, strictly about scaling. You know, you build something that you think, a thousand people are going to visit, and then 2 days later, you've got 10,000 people to worry about. So it's been a big learning experience.
Yeah, it's people think it's easy running a website. It's a little challenging, isn't it?
You have to balance. It's one of those things where you balance not only, you know, the financial stuff, the time aspect. Is this worth it? These are questions that, you know, I've placed on myself a number of times over the past year. But the answer is always yes. It's so worth it. You know, when you see the number of people that rely on you or your website for information or for, you know, you, for example, you have a website that, what, you have a million people almost daily now?
Yeah, oh yeah, pulling up my numbers right here. It is probably, it's actually a little bit more than that. I mean, it's growing every day, but that's a safe to say.
You know, so you know what I'm talking about when you talk about evaluating whether or not it's even worth it at times, and then you realize how many people just rely on it, and you can't help but say yes.
Yeah, it does become time consuming for me, because I do it because I love it, just like I'm sure you do your site. You love building the site, and you love providing the tools for the community, and you do such a fantastic job. I mean, I got to tell you, Jason, I'm so thrilled with the work you've done. It makes me happy.
I really appreciate it, and you know, it's been one of those things that has given me a lot of joy too, just to see the reaction from especially Microsoft employees like yourself. You know, have made a lot of friends within the Xbox team. Through the site and you know, the community at large. And just to be able to have, I don't want to say it's like a power trip, but at the same time, you really feel like you have something to offer. And, you know, in another way, that's going to sound like a low self-esteem sort of thing, you know, oh, finally I feel important. But that's exactly how it is. But that sort of thing is what keeps you going.
It's absolutely right. So I want to wrap it up here, but tell me about the gamer card poll.
The gamer card poll is a program that we tried to start earlier this year that allows the users to create their, you know, their vision of what they want a gamer card to look like. What we're really looking for is something that the community at large would want to use. Not, you know, some people like snowboarding and they want to put their, you know, they're a big snowboarder. They want to put an image of themselves. You know, that's nice, and there are sites that will allow you to do that. But we're looking more along the lines of something that really has some style to it. We have the gel cards that were created by somebody in our community, too, that have become actually one of our most popular cards. Just because of the little bubble aspect to them, they're really nice looking. Our last game cards, which have images of the last games that you were playing as the background. I mean, these things are ideas that the community have approached us with, and that is the type of information that we're looking, or that's the type of involvement that we would like to see.
So that was a long way of saying you're looking for somebody to design new cards.
It is, but, you know, when you just say something like that,
yeah,
people are like, oh, well, how do I go about doing it?
Right.
Well, the first way to do it is look at what we currently offer, look at, you know, how it's come about over the past few months, or, you know, if you've been with us that long. But, you know, just find something that, you know, maybe you think is missing and build off of that.
So there you go. So you've got a cool contest running over there. I you know, if you think you can do it, you've got about a little bit less than a week to enter, right?
Right.
So
we want to do we wanted to have the 15th be the deadline. You know, I may, if entries start rushing in, I'll definitely be extending it.
Sure. So that's good to know. So if you have a design, if you have a aching to make a design, swing by mygamercard.net. And also, you know, as you're cruising around the web and you're hanging out over at MySpace and you see the mygamercard.net thing, Jason's the guy to thank for that. So Jason, your gamer tag's Morgan. Spell it for people because they're going to misspell it.
Morgon.
Not A-N.
All right.
So, Jason, I appreciate you taking time. You do such a great job with mygamercard.net. So I'm going to tell people, if you haven't swung over to get yours, go over there, sign up, you get the tag, and you can throw it in your email signature, your blog, pretty much anywhere, right? What's the strangest place you've seen you serve up a gamer picture or gamer card?
Well, obviously the strangest place has been the Sony forums. anywhere other than that, I don't know. Like, I've seen them on people's blogs that have, like, nothing. They do nothing about gaming. They have no posts about what they do. Actually, one of the, I wouldn't say it's strange, but very cool, is Decal Girl,
mm-hmm.
who is one of those websites where you get, you know, skins for your consoles or your controllers and things like that. And they have their little gamer card on every page of their site. So they are actually currently the largest contribution to our daily milestone.
Excellent. So that's good to know. Well, Jason, I'm going to let you run. I appreciate you getting on the line with me, and I promise when we do this again, it won't be another 8 months.
I hope not. I really look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, Jason Morgan. Thank you for coming on the show. If you have a gamer tag, and who doesn't already, I mean, really, swing over to his site, mygamercard.net, and you can get yourself a, you know, one of those little cool flash things you can put in your signature file for your email. You know, you can make it for your forum signature, and you can do all sorts of fun stuff with that. So go ahead and try that out. Okay, we're going to forge right ahead here. It's time for Name the Game. Here's the Name the Game from last week. Right. Easy. That was, of course, Sneaking, which is a Burger King game that you can buy at your local Burger King. So thank you for everybody that entered that. The correct winner, let's see, the winner this week is, his gamer tag is, looking through the email, Riverside Guy, congratulations, you grabbed yourself an Air Force X1 headset from Turtle Beach. These are a cool set of headsets that give you live and game audio all in the same headset, so you can play in the privacy of your dorm room, your bedroom, wherever you want to play privately. So that's it. All right, so let's roll the name of the game for this week. little bit longer there. Just a little bit longer. Give you a little bit more of it. See if you could sink your teeth into that one. If you think you know what Xbox 360 game that is from, then you send me an email. My email address is major@xbox.com. Include in the subject line, name the game, colon, your guess. In the body, please put your gamer tag if you have one. And what part of the world you are from. So thank you very much. If you think you know what that is, good luck. It's a little bit longer. I don't know. I can't figure out if it's tough or not. Well, I don't want to give any more hints than I have already. So, all right, we're coming into the home stretch here. I did a section on the show last week called Xbox 101. The reason I did it is I get a lot of new listeners. Every single week I'm getting hundreds of new listeners for this show that may or may not know or have time to listen to back shows. So I started this little segment called Xbox 101, which is really just some of the basics that you may or may not know about your Xbox if you just bought it maybe a week ago or even a month ago. So last week I talked about the fact that you could hold down the guide button in the center of the Xbox 360 controller, and the little prompt would come out from the right to close, either shut off your wireless controller if that's what you're using, or you could also shut off the entire console. So I talked about that. So this week I want to talk about downloads. So a lot of people don't know this, but if you're downloading something, you can actually click on the guide button, click on personal settings, and you'll see an option for active downloads. When you check that, you can see what you've got queued up in the download. I think we download, is it 4 or 5? I think it's 4. And then, of course, the percentage completed. There is no way to rearrange them. You can't say, oh, I want to have that first and bump something up to the top. You can, of course, by deleting those things above the things you want, kind of bump it to the top artificially. So anyway, that's the Xbox 101 section. A lot of people have really... people were really angry at me because I did that, and I don't know why, but I got some positive and some negatives, so I'd like to keep it. I promise it won't take up too much of the show, people that don't like it, but you know, there are new people coming onto the platform all the time, and I want to be able to tell them some of the cool stuff that the Xbox 360 does. All right, last week I turned to you, my faithful listeners, and asked you, my wife said she wanted to get a GPS for Christmas, which was, I thought, was way cool, because you know, she wanted something consumer electronics. And you guys responded overwhelmingly with some comments. A lot of you talked about the TomTom unit. A lot of you talked about the Garmin unit. And I ended up going with, only because I had heard some good things about it and so forth, but I ended up going with the Garmin unit, specifically the Nuvi 360. Not because it had 360 in the title, contrary to popular belief, but this unit is just, it's phenomenal. I've been using it for the past couple days. I'm kind of taking the same tack that I did with the Xbox 360. You know, I loaded up some photos of myself and my wife on it, 'cause it has a photo viewer. I put some of her favorite music on it. So you can really pimp this thing out with a lot of stuff. In addition to, it does some great integration with the Bluetooth phone. So, the Nuvi 360, I looked at the TomTom and I thought it was great. It was kind of a toss up between the two, but then ironically, when my sister had called me and she bought one of these literally the week before and was raving about it, so that was enough for me. So the Nuvi 360 from Garmin, it was great, and I bought one, found a great deal. I believe it was Walmart.com is where I ended up purchasing it because they had the lowest price ever. So that's about it for the gadget side of things this week. I'm kind of looking for some new stuff to play with. I will be going to CES this year, which is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is, you know, I went last year and I was working in the booth, and this year I don't have to do any of that stuff, which is great. But it was, that place is just overwhelming. I mean, over frickin' whelming. If you're going to CES, let me know. I'd love to hook up with you. We've got, we're going to be doing some cool stuff there. Remember the blogger bus we did at E3? Well, we're not bringing the bus, but we're doing something similar. I'll talk about that in upcoming episodes. The guys over in PR and I were talking about it, and we're going to do something fun. So if you're going to be there and you're going to be blogging, I'd love to see you. Maybe we should do a party. I don't know. I'm up for something. I'm up for something at CES this year. So CES is less than a month away, and of course we got the holidays between now and then. So. All right, I'm going to wrap it up now. Thanks to my friends at Centricom.net. They provide MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment, and they can probably do the same thing for you. So check them out if you're looking for a place to store your files and get your website up and going. Have you guys noticed the website speed for MajorNelson.com lately? We've tweaked some stuff on the server side that has made it hopefully more responsive. We had some, with some outages, we got digged or dugged. I don't know what the proper term is for that. We got slash dotted and we got dig dugged a couple of times over the past month. And that'll bring any server to its knees. But we're now back up and running, and we kind of made some special super duper turbo tweaks on the back end, and things are cooking along nicely. So thank you. Thanks, Lithion. Thanks, Centricom.net. You guys continue to keep the blog up and running and keep the conversation going out there in the blogosphere. So thank you for that. All right, going to wrap it up now. So this is Major Nelson, Xbox. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. I don't even know who I am anymore. I'm so tired from that Xbox party last night. So I'm going to wrap it up now. Thanks for downloading my show, saying have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint if necessary. And God willing, I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. This was by far the most painful show to produce. Not because of the content, but because my damn computer decided that every time I would hit record, it would like take, 30 seconds to a couple of minutes to decide to start recording. This was just a technical pain in the neck, I'll tell you that. So usually it's my ritual every year to basically flatten my machine, reformat it, and reinstall Windows. And apparently my computer knows that it's getting that time of the year, because I usually do it right before Christmas and New Year's. That's like the thing I do. But God, this was so freaking painful. I mean, if you go back, you can actually hear it in my voice, because I was just so irritated. I mean, the interviews were great. Everything, the content was great. It was just the technical issues of trying to edit this show were just mind-numbing. I mean, it literally took me... I think the show took me, 3 or 4 hours, because I was just waiting. The hard drive was just going, and it does that, and you're like, what the hell is going on? It was beyond frustrating. So, but I did it. Finally got it done. So, all right. Yeah, thanks again for all those great comments on the Garmin. Wow, that thing is amazing. Garmin people, get in touch with me. I want to talk about your products. They're freaking amazing. Also, I'm a little surprised nobody from Nintendo has contacted me. I don't have a Wii yet, so why isn't no one from Nintendo contacting me? Do I not have any Nintendo listeners over there? Jeez. All right. Yeah, CES is going to be a blast. So if you're going, let me know. We're going to be down there. Hey, you know what I forgot to talk about? I finished Rainbow Six Vegas this week. I'm just looking at it over there on my shelf. That was great. I had a great time with that. So you can check out my gamer card and you'll see that I finished that. I finished it yesterday, just kind of right before I ran out to this party that really put me over the edge. As you can probably tell by my voice, it's over the edge. Not sure if there's going to be a show next week, because I'm going to be busy flattening my computer and giving it a what for, man. Kind of pissed about that it decided all of a sudden. Last week it was working fine. This week, I didn't install anything. It just decided I've had enough. I can't deal with it anymore. God. A couple other things. I'll have some updates for you on some of the outstanding community issues next week as well. Just want to let you guys know that I know that there's some concerns you guys have, and I'm working on addressing them, and that's all that I can say about that. Robo Blitz, multiplayer, free. Check those photos out. Fun. All right, gotta go. Talk to you later. Bye.